Gaura-vatya-vrinda-gidya, Sri-sri-radha-krishna, Gopa-gopa-dasayam-kun-radha-kunda-giri-govardhan-gidya, Vrindavan-gidya, Maturam-gidya, Jagadana-sami-gidya, Yamunamai-gidya, Shimani-glasa-devi-gidya, Samaveda-bhakta-vrinda-gidya, Gaura-prinananda-hari-hari-go. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. So before beginning with Srimad Bhagavatam, I just want to mention a few things about the Julan Yatra. That means the festival of the swing for Radha and Krishna. And I'm going to just read a few things from Kavi Karnapur's Ananda Vrindavan Champu that gets into elaborate descriptions of the Julan Yatra of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So it'd just be 5 minutes and we can go on to Bhagavatam class. So Om Gana Tivananda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's described in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu that this festival was held in a very special place in Vrindavan. And the swings, there were many swings, and they were hung from different pairs of trees, and there were sitting platforms for the gopis encircling the bases of these trees, and golden chains held the swings. In the center area, there were four lines of swings belonging to different group leaders of the gopis, and they faced the four doors of the main kunja. Kunja, of course, is a forest with bushes. It's described, and we're skipping over a lot. This is a long chapter. If anyone's interested in hearing this chapter, it's on ISKCON Desire Tree. I've done a narration of the whole Ananda Vrindavan Champu. So it's described that the forest gods had decorated all the canopies of the swings with strings of different types of fruit. This will actually give us a hint how to do it on Janmashtami. And with scented chamras that resembled white lotuses born from the sky and resembled swans flying up from the lake of moonlight. This, of course, is very poetic. And there are different heavenly society personalities like the Siddhas, Bhajadaras, Charanas, and Kinnaras playing their instruments, and they arrived in Vrindavan in their celestial airplanes. So in other words, it's not just Krishna and the gopis, it's the main demigods that are coming down, demigods and also Kinnaras and Charanas. Charanas means those who chant. We're coming down to observe the swing festival of Radha and Krishna. It's described that the birds sang the glories of Krishna while their own hearts swung in delight. And many, many deer came, and they gathered in the kunjas to watch this pastime of Radha and Krishna. And as they gathered in the kunjas, they stood as motionless as figures in a painting. And the gopis came, and they suddenly manifested, seemingly out of nowhere, coming directly from the desire trees. They wore colored sashes and tinkling ankle bells, fluffy petticoats, and there's more descriptions. They were also carrying with them many different flower bombs in order to have this holy festival at the same time. They also had flasks filled with fragrant agaru, musk, camphor, and sandalwood ointments. And they had syringes, that's called pichari, filled with flower essences, kumkum water, and sandalwood water, and musk water. And they were all waiting the arrival of Radha and Krishna. And they were all thinking that they would get a chance to swing them first. So Krishna finally entered the swing area with his left arm resting on Srimati Radharani's shoulder. And of course he was holding his flute. And his right hand, Krishna, twirled a lotus flower. Krishna also appeared a little bit drowsy because he had been chewing betel nuts. And the trees and the creepers felt such rapture from seeing this that their limbs erupted with tiny bumps and honey streamed down from them like torrents of tears. The peacocks cried out, "Kale, kale," which means basically in Sanskrit, "Who are those two persons?" referring to Radha and Krishna. And there were charnas, male and female, king purushas, and the apsaras, directed by Urvasi, held chamras as radiant as waves in the Mandakini River. So Srimati Radharani and her friends sat beside Krishna. So not only Srimati Radharani on the swing, but also Srimati Radharani's associates. And Krishna rested his left arm on Srimati Radhika's shoulder. The gopis, adorned with colorful makeup and tinkling bells, mounted their respective swings. So there were all sorts of different swings around there, too. And loudly sang songs in the appropriate temple. In the four outer yards, other gopis sang melodious songs, and then some of the gopis took fistfuls of powder from the bags tucked in their belts and forcibly threw it into the air while their bangles jingled. Now the demigods, being upset not being able to see Radha and Krishna's pastimes, repeatedly showered flowers to remove the dust that the gopis had put into the air when they threw all their ingredients in the air. And the Manjaris, that's the Manjari gopis, gracefully pushed the swings. Vrinda and the others, they kept shouting, "Jai Ho, Jai Ho," while Radha and Krishna hurled colored powder on the gopis. So Srimati Radharani's friends, we're almost finished, were experts in shooting pitchkates full of sweet-smelling colored water around the swing of Radha and Krishna, and also you had Chandravali and her sakis attacking Radha and Krishna with their pitchkates. That's like a pitchkari is like a syringe, like a big syringe, which is used to spray colors, just like a Vedic water pistol. And so Radhika Sakis counterattacked Chandravali with her group, and with a fountain spray of color, they aimed mainly at Chandravali, and that spray did not even touch the bodies of Radha and Krishna. And they were kept exclaiming, each side was exclaiming, "I am winning, I am winning." And so there was a whole, just a big scene there. So if any of the bombs, you know, the bombs of the colors, happened to hit the dark blue body of Krishna, Srimati Radharani wiped it off with her soft lotus hand. And finally, at the end of this, Krishna faced each group and dexterously moved his swing in two different directions. When Krishna swung east or west, he moved the swing directly towards the gopis in those directions. And when he swung to the north or south, those gopis sat next to him. In the joy of such counter-swinging, Krishna's necklaces, forest garland, and shiny earrings all joined in this festival. So these are the manifest pastimes that Krishna exhibited 5,000 years ago, and this was written by Kavi Karnapur. So this is from the Ananda Vrindavan Champa. So now we'll go on to the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 19th chapter, text 3. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Na hi etasmen kule kaschen anipsatvaha kripanaha puman pratyakyata pratishrutya yau vadata vijataye Nayetatsmen kule kaschen. Nipsatva kripana puman. Vajyavyata pratishutya. Yovadata dvijataye. Nayetasmen kule kaschen. Nisatva kripana puman. Prakyakyata pratishutya. Yovadata dvijataye. Ne anayetasmen gure kaschen. Niksatva kripana puman. Pratyakyata pratishutya. Yovadata dvijataye.
Oh, Bhakti Priya, it's good to see you. Ingrid, Madhava, Gokulendra, Shravana Netachi, Udhava, all the devotees.
Ladies, Etasmen, in this. Kule, in the dynasty or family. Kaschit, anyone. Niksatvaha, poor-minded. Kripanaha, miser. Puman, any person. Prajakyata, refuses. Pratishrutya, after promising to give. Yava, either. Adata, not being charitable. Dvijataye, unto the brahmanas. Translation. I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to brahmanas, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. You can repeat. I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to brahmanas, nor after promising to give charity, has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. So there's no purport to this text, but there is a purport to the next text. So we'll just read the next text for this purport. Nashanti chitte yuri chattinartita. Paran mukar ye Sve Tvamanas Vino Rupa Yushmakule Yat Yashashamalena Rada Udvati Atodupakke. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born, who, upon being requested, has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places or a fight to kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The symptoms of a kshatriya are given in Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dan. A kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana, nor can he refuse to fight another kshatriya. A king who does refuse is called low-minded. In the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there were no such low-minded kings. So, comment on that. So, Omagana, Timananda, Shad, Pananjana, Shlagaya, Chakshur, Vinitam, Yena, Tasmai, Shigurave, Namaha. So, this is a very interesting quality about concerning Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are the mode of passion, very much interested in different things, of course, not only fighting, but specifically, it's not just fighting that they like. It's this chivalry, the competition. You know, competition is actually part of chivalry. And also, they like romance. And also, they like being seen as magnanimous. And that's why they give charity. So there's many stories about this in the Vedic literature, specifically the Mahabharata. For example, as far as giving charity is concerned, we have Karna. Karna was renowned for giving charity, and basically, he got in trouble for giving charity. There's this interesting story that Karna, of course, was born with these celestial earrings. He was the son of the sun. Pronounce both words the same. Son of the sun. I guess you pronounce it the same. It's hard to understand in English except in the context what you mean. So he was the son of the sun god. So he had these celestial earrings and this celestial armor, and nobody could hurt him. You know, if someone fired an arrow at him, they would just bounce off, basically. So it was necessary to take this armor and to take the earrings away from him in order for Arjuna to defeat Karna, in order for the battle of Kurukshetra to be won by the good guys. So there was the whole trick. It was understood that Karna every day would give charity during the rising and setting of the sun, because he would worship the sun. He would do, like they say, Surya Namaskar. Surya Namaskar means obeisances or respects to the sun. So what happened is that Indra, who happened to be the father of Arjuna, he had a plan how to take away the armor and the earrings of Karna. And his plan was that he acted or portrayed himself like a Brahmin. And he came to Karna just when he was offering respects to the sun god, and Karna had made a vow that whoever asked him for charity, especially Brahmins at that particular time, would be given whatever the person asked for, and Indra took the guise of a Brahmin. So Karna was doing his Suryaya Namaha. And Indra came and said, I'd like some charity. And Karna said, what would you like to take? And Indra said, I would like to have your armor and your earrings. And Karna actually knew it was Indra, but because he had taken that vow, and Indra was in the guise of a Brahmin, Karna took his knife, because this armor he was born with, it was part of his body. It wasn't just like something he put on every day. And the earrings were part of his body. He was born with those earrings and with the armor. So he took his knife and he just like sliced them off his body. in a very painful way. That's how determined he was to fulfill this vow of giving charity. And, of course, Indra was extremely ecstatic that he had done this. And Indra said, I'm very pleased with you. Ask for benediction. And Karna said, well, now that I don't have my armor anymore, I want a benediction of having this infallible dart that you have. Indra had this weapon that upon releasing it, it would kill whoever it was aimed at. I mean, nobody could do anything with it. It was just completely infallible. So, let's say, so Indra wasn't so happy about that, but because he had promised, again, you know, you have the chivalry thing where someone had promised something, he gave the dart to Karna. And so later on, the Battle of Kurukshetra, during the chapter where Karna was actually the general, then Karna had this dart and he was ready to use it on Arjuna. But Indra had a different plan. Krishna had a different plan, sorry. Krishna had a different plan. Krishna wanted that dart to be used on someone else, and that someone else was Ghatotkach. Ghatotkach, of course, was the son of Bhimsen, and Ghatotkach was this, I guess, half Rakshasa, half human being, and he expanded himself so much that he was ready to kill all the Kuru soldiers. And so Duryodhana said to Karna, you know, I know you're saving that dart for Arjuna. However, there's not going to be anything left. Because Ghatotkach was killing all the soldiers at night. And that's when the Rakshasas get very, very powerful. And so, therefore, Karna picked out the dart, killed Ghatotkach. Ghatotkach expanded himself even bigger, and he was able to crush several Akshahini of the soldiers of the Kuru dynasty when he died. So anyway, so that's the story of Karna's charity. Also, it was known that Duryodhana was a very charitable person. So Duryodhana would actually give a lot of charity too. Of course, his motivation in giving charity was sort of to win friends and influence people. In other words, to get people on his side while the Pandavas were away, so that later on, as it's described, he's pretty much depleted the treasury. So when the Pandavas came back, everyone would like him. But of course that strategy didn't work. So in general, the Kshatriyas, they were giving charity. And actually it's described that the Brahmanas, they would like to show up for any sacrifice because that's how they made their money. There's a story in it's also in the Mahabharata, and it was a king, King Marut, who was doing a sacrifice, and he gave so much gold to the Brahmanas they couldn't carry it away. And as a result of that, later on, when Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to perform a big Ashwamedha sacrifice, he sent Arjuna out to collect that gold that was left there. It was left at the sacrificial arena. There's even one story about how one Brahmana was a greedy Brahmana, and he was holding on to the gold and he had given it a sacrifice, and he had to cross a river and he died. Because the gold, of course, is extremely heavy, heavy metal. So that's charity of the Kshatriyas. And other things, like there's another statement that Kshatriyas, when they're approached by a lady, they have an eligible lady, not just any lady, they have to accept her and basically get married to her. That's one of the Kshatriya, you know, if someone declares themselves a Kshatriya, they better be ready for that too. In fact, when in the Bhagavatam, when Arjuna is coming back after seeing that Krishna had left this planet, and Arjuna was very, very depressed about this, Yudhisthira is asking him various questions about why Arjuna is depressed. Now, Yudhisthira doesn't want to ask the question, is Krishna gone? You know, so he's asking all sorts of other questions because he really doesn't want to hear that Krishna has left the planet. And one of the questions he asks Arjuna is, did a eligible lady approach you and you refused her? In other words, that was such a dharmic thing with the Kshatriyas, you know, the pride, the chivalry of the Kshatriyas, that they had to accept any lady who approached them. In fact, there was that time when Arjuna had to sort of take a vow of brahmacharya for many years, because he had intruded upon Yudhisthira when Yudhisthira was alone with Draupadi. Now, the Pandavas had made this promise, or made this vow, that if any of them intruded upon Draupadi and whatever husband she was with at that particular time, because she was a shared wife, it's called polyandry, where one woman has many husbands. So if anyone intruded, then that person would have to go into exile for so many years. I forget the number of years, but it was many years they had to go into exile for. And the reason for that was that Narada Muni had previously given them advice they had to make some arrangements so there wasn't fighting over Draupadi. You know, that they would all continue to work together and Draupadi wouldn't be a cause of conflict between the Pandavas. So they took that vow, and Arjuna one time had to intrude because he had to retrieve the weapons that were being kept with Yudhisthira at that point, because someone was taking a Brahmin's cows away, so he had to protect the Brahmin and his cows. So then Arjuna had to go and take a vow of brahmacharya for so many years, and you know, for a kshatriya that's very hard. So he goes on pilgrimage, and he takes a whole bunch of Brahmins with him. And one of the things that happens when he goes on pilgrimage is he takes bath in the Ganges River. And as he's taking bath in the Ganges River, guess what happens? A girl pulls him down. Ulupi. She just like pulls his legs, and he finds himself all the way under the water in the watery kingdom. And so he says, "Lady, what do you want?" And she says, "You. I want to be married to you." And he says, "I've taken a vow of brahmachari life." And then, it's interesting, then she has a whole philosophical explanation that this brahmachari life is only in the relationship with Draupadi. So, let's get married. So, he stays with her for a night or something like that. And eventually they have a kid. And similar thing happens in Manipur when he goes there. So in other words, you find this is a very important part of Kshatriya Dharma. Now, it's not that the Kshatriya is just taking advantage of women. He's actually protecting the ladies. You know, there's marriage. And there's different types of marriage. You know, like you have Ganga Devi and Shantanu, you know, exchanging garlands. So most of the times, the Kshatriyas, when they accept someone, it's not like a whole marriage ceremony, like one of these 3 or 4 day vivaha ceremonies. It's a pretty quick thing. So anyway, that's what another thing the Kshatriyas have to do. And here it's talked in this verse, it talks about being challenged or fighting. So there was another problem with that in the Mahabharata too. And of course that's the story of the dice game, the gambling match, that Yudhisthira, even though he wasn't good at gambling, he was challenged to this chess game or dice game by Duryodhana. And Duryodhana, of course, very intelligently had Shakuni throw the dice for him. And Shakuni had loaded dice. Loaded dice means it's weighted in a certain way so that when you throw it, once you practice, you can actually throw it in such a way that you know which way it's going to land. It's called loaded dice. That's a typical thing you hear about Las Vegas sometimes. So Shakuni had these loaded dice, and he was kept throwing the dice, and Yudhisthira just had to go along with each and every challenge. You know, first he gave away some of his jewelry, then eventually his horses, his cavalry, eventually his own kingdom, eventually his brothers, he gambled, and eventually he gambled his wife. And there was a whole disaster as a result of that. We know that there was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi, and Krishna had to supply unlimited cloth to protect Draupadi. Then what happened is that Dhritarashtra sort of forgave the Pandavas. And he said, all right, you know, this is too much. So give the Pandavas back everything. And the Pandavas got back everything. Then the Pandavas got ready to leave to go back to Indraprastha. And then they got another challenge. Yeah, you would think, you know, once burned, twice wary. You know, if something happens to you, I'm not gambling with that guy again. He's a cheater. And what happened is they went back, and this time it was an all or nothing. You know, complete exile with one year of gyatvas, you know, that means just hidden exile where you can't be discovered. If you're discovered, you have to go back for another 14 years of exile. And so they had to go along with that. I mean, it was just like Kshatriya Dharma. You had to respond to a challenge like that. Even we find that Lord Balaram, who was acting like a Kshatriya, that Lord Balaram was challenged by Rukmi, who was Rukmini's brother, to a gambling match. And it's described that Lord Balaram wasn't such a good gambler, or whatever, expert at this particular game. And Rukmi was cheating. But Balaram went along and he was gambling. And finally, at this gambling match, there was so much cheating that Balaram got angry and killed Rukmi. And smashed the king of Kalinga's teeth, you know. There's also some interesting stories like that, things that happened. They said, Prabhupada comments that this would sometimes happen at marriages. A Kshatriya marriage. And there's other instances where, you know, Kshatriyas really get enthusiastic about a fight. I mean, of course, the typical example is Bhimsen, who was always very, very enthusiastic to fight. So once upon a time, the Pandavas were in this place called Ekachaka. Of course, that's Lord Nityananda's place. And they were acting as brahmanas, because they were in disguise. The reason they were in disguise is that they didn't want to go back to Hastinapur. Because being in Hastinapur for them was like, described like the tongue. Vidura talks about this in his relationship to his own life. It's like the tongue between the teeth. That at any minute there could be an attempt on their lives and they couldn't do anything about it. So, what happened is they're in exile, and in this village, or close to the village, there was this big Rakshasa, Lakasura. And he liked to eat human beings. And that's what Rakshasas like to do. He was a cannibal. Just like, I mean, I don't know if I told the story, but last night I was talking to my mother, and she was telling me how she eats chicken, and I said, you're a cannibal. Anyway, first time I actually chastised it. So the Rakshasas are cannibals. She didn't take it too well. So the Rakshasas are cannibals, and what happened is that previously this Rakshasa had been eating just about anybody willy-nilly in the village. So they made a deal. My dear Rakshasa, let's make a deal. You know, every month we'll give you just one person from the family. And families would take turns, you know, giving a person from their family. You know, it's your turn this month. Uh-oh. So, actually, the Mahabharata describes that no one should live somewhere unless there's a good king. Because if you live somewhere where there's not a good king or president or something like that, it's just dangerous because there's no protection. The word kshatriya means protection. So what happened is that it was time for this family where the Pandavas were staying to give one of their family members. And the family members were discussing amongst themselves, you know, who would go. And each one, they were great brahmanas. Each one was volunteering. Take me, take me. And the little baby, little son was saying, take me. The daughter was saying, take me. The wife was saying, take me. And there's a whole discussion. You can live without me. You know, you can get another wife. You know, if I get eaten, but I can't get another husband, so therefore you should go. I know I should go. And anyway, and this way the discussion was going on, and they were crying, and the Pandavas, or at least Draupadi heard this, not Draupadi, Kunti heard this, sorry. Kunti heard this whole discussion. And so she goes in and he says, what's the problem? And they describe the problem. She says, we're your guests. You know, we can't let you do this. You know, I have a son. And he's a great mystic Brahmin. And he can take on this demon. And so they said, eventually, after being reluctant, they said yes, because obviously you don't want to endanger guests, because protecting or hosting guests is considered one of the topmost Vedic principles. So they eventually said yes when they were assured by Kunti everything would be all right. So Kunti tells Bhimsen, because there's the whole point, he's enthusiastic for the fight, he's just like hitting his muscles, like that's so enthusiastic because it's a fight. And then Yudhisthira and the others come back because they're collecting alms. They're, in other words, they were acting like Brahmins. So they come back and they see Bhimsen going like that. And they say to Kunti Devi, what's happening? He has a fight, doesn't he? You know, he's getting really enthusiastic. And so he got so enthusiastic, and of course we know he killed this demon. Of course he ate all the demons, prasadam first. He was holding off the demon with one hand as he was eating the whole cart full of prasadam. He held off the demon with the left hand because the left hand's not pure. And he ate with the right hand. Ate the whole cart of prasadam. So anyway, so very, very enthusiastic. Of course, other times, other stories about Kichuk in Virat, in the palace of Virat, you know, that there's Kichuk, and we don't have time to tell the stories, only half a minute. But anyway, he was so enthusiastic in fighting him that he pulverizes Kichuk into the size of a basketball, and you couldn't even tell where the arms, legs, hands, or heads were, head was. So, you know, very enthusiastic for a challenge, for a fight. Not to beat up people. That's not Kshatriya. Kshatriya is chivalrous, competitive. You challenge a Kshatriya to something, he just goes, wow, that's fantastic. And Prabhupada encouraged that with amongst his devotees, not with women or anything like that, but he encouraged his devotees to have that spirit, especially in preaching Krishna consciousness, with the competition. Prabhupada said, I love this competition. He said, we should be fighters like Arjuna. Not with all this Kshatriya stuff with charity and women and fighting, but fighting for preaching Krishna consciousness. So this move needs to be embodied by the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement in relationship to preaching. Okay, got it. Okay, thank you very much. All glorious divine grace. Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.